Laughing, you're taking rooms on my head.
Okay.
Twisting.
We're live. Okay, thank you. Ready to go? This is going to be class number 3 in the episode 28 called Higher Accounting, the last class of Parshas Noach, which is last week, but we're finishing it today. So Be'ezras Hashem, we can do still 2-3 classes of Parshas Lech Lecha while it's still this week. As I mentioned yesterday, this is going to be a very special class today because the Rebbe, in this particular piece that we're going to share today, drops some really, really fundamental information regarding the state of existence now regarding Mashiach. In other words, where do we stand when it comes to the notion of Mashiach's coming? What place are we standing in? In which level? Meaning, in which state of readiness are we at this time? So yesterday, if you remember, we were learning that the whole energy of this talk is a tshuva energy. It's a tshuva energy. The Rebbe is talking about repentance. The Rebbe is talking about an accounting that we do when we've already begun the new work. It's not like an accounting that gets done during the time of when you're taking stock and thinking about reorienting yourself or directing yourself. You've already decided, we're already 1 week into the work of the new year. The setting our goals and setting ourselves for our work to fulfill our mission in this world has already been set in the month of Tishrei, which is the month of the high holidays and through the high holidays. But now we're already 1 week into the work, like you discussed, that's the significance of Parshas Noach. Noach is a very unique time in that Noach is the first week, as the Rebbe discussed, the first week of actual work. In other words, the Jewish people we've been working already a continuous week in this world. So in the literal sense, we've done the work. But it's important when you start working, you want to make sure your wheels are aligned, the steering wheel is set straight, your fuel tank is okay, you're moving in that right direction. You want to align yourself with the map. Because if you're going to continue moving, this is like the first week, you know, you want to stop and take stock. That's what we learned yesterday. And therefore, this tshuva that we do at the beginning, at the end of the first week, however, should be done in a way of joy. In other words, it shouldn't be that we dive into our nitty-gritty aspects in our lives that maybe are lacking or are not the way they should be, but rather we put ourselves, we're in a much higher place. Our consciousness, our awareness is in a much higher place. From a higher spot, the way the Rebbe refers to it, again, I'm not going into all this detail because this class is not meant to be heard on its own. It's meant to be heard as a continuation of the previous two classes. But from a higher perch in which we're standing already now after the high holidays, and we're already in the mode of service, and we're already setting ourselves in a very deep connection to God, from that higher place, we examine those aspects of our life that might still be lagging behind, and we lift them up into this higher consciousness, into this more godlier state. That's what we learned yesterday. And therefore, this type of tshuva, he explained, is the concept of tshuva yelah, the higher tshuva, and the like. Based on all of this, now is an amazing thing. After the Rebbe gave instructions for each and every one of us in our own way of what our analysis of our service needs to be and our accounting needs to be and the method of the accounting, that it has to be a very happy, joyous accounting. And yet, we're not oblivious to the fact that we have certain things that are not good and we need to correct them, but it's not in a way that we invest ourselves into that problem. We don't see ourselves as problem people or in a problematic place. We recognize that we're in a very good place. And yet from this good place, we pinpoint those aspects that can still become better, and we uplift those aspects of our lives to this higher reality. Like I spoke yesterday about a homeless person who, instead of venting and feeling very pitiful and sorrowful for their state, in which they find themselves in so much lacking and so much pain and so much suffering. But if they're whisked away and they're taken to a place of a great party of a great wedding, of a great celebration. And then while they're there, they noticing that perhaps their hair is unkempt. It's not in a way that makes them depressed and sad, because they're happy to be in this higher, in this greater environment where everybody's singing and everybody's dancing and everybody is having a good time and life is beautiful. And they need a little brushing. So quickly they move off. They step away from the table that they're at, maybe go to the washroom and look in the mirror. And if they need a little extra combing, they give a quick comb. That's the idea that we're talking about. A quick fix for things that need to be adjusted in a way that we're. Now the Rebbe is going to take this amazing idea, and he's going to say that this is really where our generation is holding regarding all of our deficiencies. Because he's going to do an accounting now for the entire world. Only the Rebbe. I promise you, there's no other leader in the Jewish people that can give a diagnosis to where the generation is holding like the Rebbe gave right over here. The Rebbe is speaking from the perspective of a person, of a prophet in a sense, who knows the inner realm, who knows the inside story of the Jewish souls, can see all the Jewish souls as unified from the beginning of time until the end of time. And therefore the Rebbe is going to make a declaration. I'm dropping the bomb right now. He's going to make a declaration that the Jewish people as a whole have already completed, means the collective consciousness of the collective or the collective soul of Israel, in which all of us are really all one and one person, have already completed all the work we need to do in order to enter into the Messianic state. Everything has been done. There is nothing lacking. And Israel and the Jewish people are in the complete and highest perfected state, spiritually and even physically. Amazing statement that the Rebbe makes. If then the question is, if we've done all the work, we did even tshuva already and everything was done, why is the redemption not yet here? The Rebbe leaves that with a big red question mark. In other words, he doesn't, because he sees the redemption isn't here yet, he doesn't deduce as a sign that we're lacking something. He declares openly and strongly, and again, only the tzaddik, only the ultimate doctor who can take the collective blood test and take it to the godly lab and check out where Israel is holding in terms of all the souls of the Jewish people can make such a statement. A regular rabbi could not make such a statement. It's only someone who has his pulse on the entire story. In other words, one of those rabbis who in their soul encompasses all the souls of the Jewish people is able to make a universal soul, if we might say, is able to give such an analysis or such an evaluation. So let me read it inside. He says, and a greater emphasis in all of this that we said before is regarding to the accounting that needs to be done on this Shabbos, Parshas Noach, in this year. Again, this is in 1992, so it's 32 years ago, which makes this whole thing even more pertinent, is when we realize that when we're watching a world which seems to be struggling with itself, we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that we've been flung backwards and we're deep in exile. God forbid. We're standing literally at the door of the redemption. For whatever reason, pause has been hit. You know, sometimes you hit a pause on a timer, and you somehow it's not moving further. I'm sure we moved a lot further, but we definitely didn't step back, because the Rebbe is not saying, as we're going to see soon, we reached a point where we can't go back anymore. We're at that point. It could be that maybe we've paused because there's something that we need to be doing and we're not doing in order to activate the next state. It's not doing more work to make ourselves ready for redemption, because that work has been done already. All the repair that needed to be done in the world by all of the Jewish people of all of history, through all the mitzvot that needed to be done, the Rebbe declares was done already. Finito. It's finished. It's completed. There's nothing lacking. So let's read it inside. The Rebbe says like this. I'm going to first preface, he says, since my father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, who is the leader of our generation, testified that we've already completed all the work. Now, the previous Rebbe was saying that already after the Holocaust in the 1940s. We've already finished all the work. Also polishing the buttons. What we might call as a metaphor, when the previous Lubavitch Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, this is the Rebbe's father-in-law, when he was talking about the work that we need to do in order to arrive to Mashiach, in order to come to the redemption, he was using the analogy of getting dressed for in a uniform. Because that's basically what it is. We're going to greet Mashiach. We're going to greet the new guest that's going to bring all the divine light in the world. We're going to greet God. So we need to get dressed up. Now, when a soldier or anybody, an officer who's in uniform, you know, you have to press your pants, you have to press, you have to sometimes give it to the cleaners, you have to do all kinds of work, and you know, sometimes first making the uniform, and then designing it and putting up all the pins and all the things. The last type of work that needs to be done is they used to, the brass buttons were polished. Add a little polish so that when the soldier or the officer stands in front, you know, by the great royal parade, everything is perfect, including the buttons are shining. So the last thing that was done was polishing the buttons. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe said everything was done already in terms of the Jewish people, but there was one thing left in indicating that there's still small, tiny, little, minor things that need to be taken care of. He referred to it as polishing the buttons. He says that's the one part we didn't do yet. The Rebbe, however, who was the Rebbe 40 years after the previous Rebbe and led the Jewish people in phenomenal types of inspirational work and drove so much mitzvah observance and so much spreading of godliness across the world, announced, here he's saying it in the name of his father-in-law, but really it's the Rebbe's own announcement. How can the Rebbe say it in the name of his father-in-law? But when his father-in-law never said that, as far as I know, that we finished polishing the buttons and the Rebbe's saying it on his own, the answer is, because the Rebbe, there's no question, and the Rebbe always referred to it, would be in communication with his father-in-law even after his father-in-law passed on to a higher world. The Rebbe would always go to his father-in-law's resting place, and he would be there for hours, and he clearly communicated with him, with his soul that is in heaven, and got this inside information from above. So when the Rebbe says, my father-in-law said, we finished everything, including polishing the buttons, means that when the Rebbe came and related that even the one task that needed to be done, I'm not sure which year the Rebbe added this, that we finished already polishing the buttons. I would assume that it was said in the 80s. Again, I'm just guessing that right now. But again, I would assume that it was said during the 80s, meaning in the 1980s, at some point where the Rebbe said, we've done already everything and we finished already polishing the buttons. So if that's the case, we are standing already right now ready. And again, he's saying, this is the testimony of my father-in-law, who's the leader of the generation. And therefore, and he said that all we need to do right now is to stand ready to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. So therefore, after we do a thorough accounting, because the Rebbe is saying, okay, I told you guys to do your own accounting, but let me do the accounting for the entire apparatus over here, for everybody, for the entire world. The Rebbe says the outcome of the accounting and a righteous and honest accounting. This is not cutting corners. This is not trying to be lenient. This is not trying to slip through and push something that is not true, God forbid. The Rebbe says he emphasizes an honest accounting, and a true accounting. He says that what we do these days, we come to a conclusion, is that instantly now the redemption has to come in the literal sense. And as Mashiach needs to reveal himself at this moment, because it's dependent on the work that we've done. We finished the work, boom, it has to happen. Now, more specifically, the Rebbe knows that he's talking to us, and each and every one of us is thinking, hey, Rebbe, we don't know where you're at, but we know ourselves. We're not yet rectified. If part of the Mashiach coming is that the human beings reach a rectified state, which means we're fully conscious of God, and in everything we do, we're in a state of attachment. And we're no more living in separate consciousness. And definitely we're not sinning anymore. Definitely we've refined already our character traits. We're ready to live in this higher godlier world. So when we're listening to the Rebbe say the Jewish people are there, and every single person listening to this knows that they are unrectified, we still have a lot of work to do. So how can the Rebbe say that we are ready for Mashiach? Maybe the Rebbe is ready for Mashiach. The leader is ready for Mashiach, but not us. So the Rebbe, so powerful. The Rebbe addresses that. And he says, even when a person knows himself And everybody knows themselves. You know, it says you know yourself better than anybody else knows you. So you know yourself, and you know your status, and you know your situation. That there are many things that still need, that you have aspects that still need rectification. We didn't do enough tshuva, let's say. There are certain areas in our lives that are not yet synchronized with God's will, and so on and so forth. It's not a contradiction to the testimony of the leader of the generation that we've already completed the entire work, and we are standing ready to greet Mashiach Tzadkenu, the righteous Mashiach. In other words, the fact that you know, and you know correctly, that you are certain things in your life, or I know in my life, that there are certain areas where I'm totally messed up and I'm not ready for Mashiach. Yet the Rebbe says that is might be true, but that does not contradict what the Rebbe is saying. The Rebbe is referring to himself and his father-in-law together as a unit. This, that we are declaring that the world is ready for Mashiach. Why? Because we have to differentiate between the collective and the individual. Because he says like this, because the work of the general ensemble of Jewish souls, which requires a certain amount of work, which is performed by the Jewish people throughout all the generations, which we needed to do during the time of exile, which means work that could not be done after Mashiach comes, work that needed to be done during the period of exile, and therefore Mashiach could not come until that work is completed, that general amount of work that we're all, it's almost like we're all pouring water, or we're all pouring liquids into this big, 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 big container until we have to get it to the tippy top, until we have to get it full. The Rebbe says that huge tank, the tank of merits that we needed to do, and purification and rectification, we've already filled that tank. And therefore, the amount that is necessary for the redemption to be here has been done. In order to come to the perfected state of the redemption, which we know is dependent on our work and on our service during the entire period of exile, trying very much to really stick to the words, because these words are so, so, so important to really hear them as the Rebbe said them. Sometimes I'm speaking my own words, but over here I'm trying to really stay verbatim. So he says, all of that was already finished and completed. And therefore, there is no explanation at all of why Mashiach is not here yet, or why the redemption has not yet happened. And therefore, even if it's missing in people's own individual, you know, brushing up, as we spoke earlier, you know, if you need to, in one's individual work, during this little bit of time that Mashiach is not here, has not yet arrived, or that rather that the redemption has not yet fully, that the redemption has been as being held up. Obviously, the redemption didn't happen yet, so it's being held up. So during this time, we can all find ourselves that we have certain elements that can use improvement. For whatever reason, the redemption is being held back, and we have a period of time that we're waiting. And during this time, we can find within ourselves certain flaws or certain promises. However, he is so, so powerful. He says this is a personal problem that definitely we need to fix it, and we need to correct it, and we need to perfect it. But this does not diminish, God forbid, in the completion and in the perfection of the work, of the sum total work of the Jewish people as a whole, of our work and our service, of the Jewish people that are standing and they are ready for redemption. Therefore, since we're no more dealing with repairs that are holding back essentially the redemption, in other words, it's a private brush up that everybody needs to do, but in terms of what God was expecting of us to do, it was all completed. Therefore, it makes it much easier to fix the problem, and when you're fixing it, we can do it with great joy and with fervor. You see, when we're again, I'm going to add my commentary now just to explain what is being said over here, is that if we are to say that in general we're still waiting for us to get our act together, for all of us to get our act together, and therefore every time we mess up or we do things not, so we have to keep the burden on our hearts that we're the ones who are stopping, God forbid, the entire redemption. We're messing things up again. And then when you mess up, you feel really terrible and really down and really heartbroken. And we find ourselves in essentially, we're still living in the exile world. We're still living in the darkness. The Rebbe said we turned the page already. In other words, we needed to upload. Let's say there's a certain amount of upload. The Rebbe said what the Jewish people, I'm going to use a physical example. What the Jewish people, the file we needed to send to God in order for him to download the redemption, we've already finished uploading it and we've already clicked send. So it was already sent and it probably reached the destination already. It's been received up there already. So therefore there's no, and I have no, the Rebbe says, I have no explanation why it didn't trigger the redemption yet. You hear these words? These are mind-blowing words. I have no explanation why the download of the redemption didn't happen yet. And it's not because anything is missing, because we finished. Now, while we're waiting, we have personal things that we need to fix. It's a good idea to fix it. But when you're waiting for the redemption and you know everything is finished, we should all be in such a state of joy and of happiness that we should have this extra energy and power to be able to fix whatever needs to be fixed. In other words, it should be done with, it's easy, it's quick, it's fast, it's with joy. It's not heavy, because everything is done already. Let's just repair quickly what needs to be repaired. As I mentioned earlier, a little brush up is all that is needed. Because we know, but going back to the Rebbe's words, we know that instantly Mashiach is coming. The redemption is about, the true and complete redemption is about to unfold. Let's put it into other words. Again, not my words. I'm going to use the words the Rebbe is saying and the other words that he says. He says, the general Jewish people make up one soul. One, in other words, all of our souls together were one soul of Adam. It's one soul. And then each one of us is a little piece of Adam's soul being incarnated in this world. The earlier generations were the head of Adam. The later generations are the lower parts of the body. Finally, our generation are the heels of the feet of Adam. So we're all part of one soul. He says, that human being, where together we do the work, that human being is already in a situation where he is a complete human being with all of his 248 limbs and 365 arteries. In other words, whatever perfection needed to be done for the Jewish people as a whole, that singular essence called Israel is standing right now in a complete rectified state. It's interesting, he says, spiritually that way, we've done all the mitzvot that we needed to do, 248 positive commandments, but being done by all the Jews throughout the generations, 365 prohibitive commandments, that was done to its completion, and physically as well. In other words, the Jewish people, I guess, what do you mean physically? Does it mean that there is no problem, nobody's sick? There is, but as a whole, we're standing in a very good space right now. There is lacking, but the lacking that there is are just individual. He says, and the individual lacking that we might see, where a person sees, you know, I'm not perfect in my observance of mitzvot. Maybe I'm not religious at all. I'm not doing the mitzvot, or maybe, you know, I have a lot of things in my life that are very un-Jewish and very ungodly, right? Or maybe physically, I'm not don't seem to be enough. You know, my life is a wreck. So the Rebbe says these deficiencies are like a little ache that you have in your body, or a very light disease that's very external in an individual limb, which takes, in order to fix it, takes just a little. You can get an over-the-counter drug. You don't need major therapy. In other words, in as much as the Jewish people look as a whole, we're all healthy. The individual issues that we have are considered relative to the whole, tiny little wounds, tiny little things that can be easily bandaged up, or easily a little cream and you're fixed. It's not a big deal. You don't have to. We don't need to go crazy about it. We're a little bit of attention. We can fix everything today's days much easier than we were able to fix things in the past. Like it says, the Rebbe says, heal, you should heal. The power has been given to us all. It was given the power for a doctor to heal, which is And primarily, he says, we're talking about spiritual healing that comes through tshuva. And today it's very accessible. The repairs that we needed to do in the past were done already. Now it's just small little repairs that we need to do. We can do them quickly. Tshuva is very accessible to each and every one of us. And we can even reach the perfection of healing. Such a healing is amazing. We can heal ourselves so deeply that our healing is not just that I was once sick and now I'm all healed, I'm feeling perfect, but a deeper healing where we uproot the injury or the disease to the point that it as if it never was. It becomes so uprooted that you're not like a person who's been weakened by an injury or disease. It's like you've never had it before. You're clean and utterly, like as if it, there's no trace of it. That's how deep our healing of our blemishes can happen quickly and easily these days. And now the Rebbe continues, and if all of this was already true in the days of my saintly father-in-law, the leader of the generation, while he was alive in this world, going back from 1990, over 40 years, to the 1940s, how much more so now that we've already passed another many tens of years, which means another 40 years, more than 40 years, in which Hashem has given us a heart to know and eyes to see and ears to hear. In other words, we've had so much study and learning during this time. So definitely without a question that in this year, 57, 52, the Hebrew year of 1992, which was 57, 52, in which the acronym of the year is in a continuation to what was the earlier, the year before the 57, 51, the acronym was it should be a year where God will show us wonders. But this year, 57, 52, is more. It's that the wonders become part of the year. The wonder should be in it, like we discussed in episode 27. You can listen to that class. And the wonder should be in everything. And in everything, it means in everything. There's a phrase we say in benching, bakol mikol kol, which means in everything, from everything, and everything, which are blessings that God gave the three patriarchs. Abraham received the blessing that God blessed him with everything. Isaac received the blessing that God blessed him from everything. And Jacob received the blessing. Yaakov received the blessing of everything. When you take these three things together, you have every angle of everything. The wonders are so powerful, the Rebbe says now. In other words, we have such energy this year. There's such an incredible energy. So now for sure, you know, we're right there and the redemption has to blast open, especially since these three words, in everything, from everything, and everything, bako mikoko, is the numeric value of 192, which spells the word kabetz, which means gathering, the gathering of the Jewish people back to Israel, which is the main theme of the redemption, which includes everything. And most important, that we're talking about wonders is not just nice wonders, but wonders of the complete redemption. Like it says, like the days you went out of Egypt, I will show you wonders. And specifically, he says, so again, this year is such an the redemption is so apropos. Everything is done already. Everything is ready. Let's just make it happen. Let's just happen. And specifically, again, the Rebbe is concluding his calculation, his accounting. This is where the accounting is, that now it needs to happen. It should happen. And specifically after we've already finished the first month of this year. This is such a powerful year. But we've already concluded the month of Tishrei, which is called Tishrei because it's the same letters as the word Reishis, which means the head. So we've already finished already. We've gone into this year already. We're deep in the year already because we completed the year, the brain of the year, which includes the whole year. And more than that, we've already finished the first week that follows the brain, the first week of actual work, in which we've already done our work in a very high way in the world and in a completed way in the world, which that emphasizes the day of Shabbos. Shabbos comes at the end of the work week. We've already finished 1 week of work, which we know Shabbos is connected to the redemption. Here the Rebbe is going to, from every angle, lay it out for God. And the Rebbe is trying with all of his energy to lay it out for God and saying, hey God, everything is ready. Everything is lined up. Let's just happen. Let's make it happen. And specifically, he says, where are we standing right now? It's not just on Shabbos, which Shabbos is connected to the redemption. When the Rebbe was doing this talk, it was Shabbos afternoon. Now Shabbos afternoon is even more connected to the ultimate redemption. Because we know Friday night is connected to Abraham. Shabbos, Friday night, is connected to the energy of Abraham, of Avram. Shabbos morning is connected to Isaac. Shabbos afternoon from midday till evening is the highest time of Shabbos, is connected to Jacob. We know that Jacob, Yaakov, he's particularly, his energy is the energy of this, of the current redemption. Because this is the third redemption of the Jewish people. The first one was from Egypt. The next one was from Babylon. And the third one is going to be the gathering of the Jewish people from the diaspora across the entire world. Also, we had two temples in the past. The first temple of King Solomon, second temple that was built by Ezra, the Jewish people coming back, and by the Persian king Dariavish, who gave them permission to build the temple. Finally, the third temple, is the greatest of it all, is going to be built by Mashiach. So whose energy is the third temple? The energy of Jacob, of Yaakov Avinu. So this is the case in which it says in the verse that on the third day, God will pick us up and we will live in front of him. In other words, we will be in such a deep connection to him. And we're ready, because since it's Shabbos afternoon, we're getting ready to pray the afternoon services, in which we're going to read in the Torah portion of Lech Lecha, which is the third Torah portion, which in that Torah portion, God commands Abraham, Avram Avinu, to go to the Holy Land, to go to the Promised Land, which in truth means, if you're learning deeper beyond the surface, it means that God is telling each and every Jew, every single one of us, travel to the Holy Land, which means the meaning of Lech Lecha, and its deeper meaning is God is calling the redemption. Because that's what's going to happen by the redemption. All Jews living across the world will go live in the land of Israel, right? And therefore, it's a commandment and it's an empowerment to every single individual Jew, plus to the Jewish people as a whole. How is God empowering us? Through Abraham, the first Jew, okay? And God is commanding us and empowering us to go from the exile to the redemption in a manner of double. Because when Hashem says to Abraham, lech, to go, he doesn't just say go, he says lech lecha, repeating the word twice. It can be read lech lech, go go, which means every time when you double something, it means an enormous intensification of it. So not only did God give us a weak or a soft prompt to go, he's giving us a powerful push to go. There's an enormous strength now to get it done, to get the redemption going. Which also indicates, the Rebbe says, that it's not a slow going. It should be swift and fast, the going to the land of Israel. And the perfection of the swiftness is what it says in Daniel, that one of the ways Mashiach can come is that he's going to come with the clouds. So coming with the clouds obviously means a very quick bringing of the Jewish people from across the world to the land of Israel. So definitely, after we have all of this incredible energy here right now, definitely, that all the end dates have already ended, and the Jewish people did already repentance. And here the Rebbe drops very strong words, because there's nothing that Israel still has to do anymore. It's all done. Now the coming of Mashiach is dependent only on one person, on one being. On who? On Mashiach himself, on the righteous Mashiach. In other words, whatever the people needed to do, see, the coming of Mashiach is going to be done through Mashiach. He himself comes and redeems the Jewish people. But it's dependent on a whole lot of work that the Jewish people have to do in order to make it, to do the preliminary work. And then Mashiach can come. But now all of that has been done already, the Rebbe says. It's all fartik, it's finished, it's done. So now, Mashiach himself has to decide to come. It's not anything anymore dependent on Israel. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't brush up our service. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't do a lot of, and he's going to continue teaching on and on what kind of the high service we should do. But to think that there is something blocking for the Geula, for the redemption from coming, there's nothing there. Now, Mashiach needs to come, and he has to kind of act. He needs to now open the door. We've done everything. We're standing by the door outside. We've done everything. He needs to open the door and walk out. What a word. What an incredible statement. Okay. So once the Rebbe laid it flat on Mashiach, okay, once we've had these incredible teachings, and that the Rebbe lays this flat out in as Mashiach's responsibility in order for the redemption to come, it's now, he's got to act. It's not up to us anymore. We can just sit and wait, but we can't. So now he's gonna perhaps give us something that we could do to help Mashiach. Isn't that amazing? He's gonna give us something that we could do to help Mashiach. What does he say? Okay, then so this goes into a. Here the Rebbe goes away from the accounting, and he goes to something really, really magnificent. This is in chapter 10 in Parshas Noach. Really, and here again, there's another bomb. He says, regarding what we have spoken, it seems like over here there was an interruption in the talk. Maybe they sang, and then the Rebbe began speaking again. So there's like, he's saying now, referencing what we had discussed earlier, regarding the righteous accounting, and particularly regarding, the honest accounting that we do, and primarily regarding in connection to the redemption. Because the Rebbe said everybody should do their own accounting. And then he said, I made the accounting for everybody regarding the world. So there's something the Rebbe says that I want to bring to your attention, and I want to awaken that people should be mindful of something. And that is in what's called Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana means the sanctification of the moon, which is very, very deeply connected to everything we've discussed earlier. What does that mean? There is a ritual, a custom, and it's actually not just a custom, it's one of the practices. Every month, the Hebrew months are lunar months. One night of the month, after the new month, the new moon appears, there is a custom to go outside at night. Usually it's done with a quorum of people after they finished praying the evening services. You go outside, you look at the sky, you have to see the moon. If it's cloudy, you can't do it. You have to see the moon, the new moon. And there's a special blessing that is made. It's called the sanctification of the moon. Kiddush Levana. It's a whole bunch of paragraphs that are said. It's like a 5 to 10 minute procedure that is done. It's done monthly. It's only done by men, not by women. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into it. And now, from when can you do that? You don't do it on the first day when the new moon appears. Second, technically, you can do it from the third day and onward. And the moon is a little larger already, 3 days as the moon waxes. And but the more mystical custom is to wait till the seventh day. You know, there's 15 days for the moon to wax till its fullest. So you wait till 7 days has passed. Seventh day was passed. Then you go outside and we look at the moon and we say the special blessing. And afterwards, we're soon going to see is a custom that people do a little dance. It's something it's very, very special. So the Rebbe says, I want people to be mindful that this is something that particularly now is something that should be done with extra cautiousness and extra mindfulness in association with the redemption. In other words, since we mentioned that now, what? We need to activate Mashiach. So one of the ways of activating Mashiach is doing the service of the sanctification of the moon. So in the part, the Rebbe says, what am I asking for? Before, I'm jumping a little ahead. I'm not reading it verbatim of it. I'm jumping a little ahead. The Rebbe calls, first the action. The action is, that if people were not so careful in doing this, for whatever reason, sometimes you're sluggish, sometimes you're not, you don't go to the evening services all the time, and therefore you slack off. If you're not aware of it, you didn't set your alarm clock, that you have a reminder, it's possible that a month passes and you didn't do this. So the Rebbe says, everybody should make sure to do the Kiddush Levana monthly. Second thing, we're supposed to do it dressed appropriately, because going out and sanctifying the moon is as if we're coming to greet the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is the divine attribute of kingship. It's God as God as being a king. When you're coming to greet a king, you dress your finest. So the custom usually is that we try to do it in our Shabbos clothing, in our Saturday Shabbos clothing. So we try to do it Saturday night when people are dressed there in a more festive way, in our finer clothing. That's the way we should do Kiddush Levana. So the Rebbe says, if for whatever reason you go out on your porch and you're not wearing a hat or a jacket or you do it casually, wearing sandals without shoes or something, you know, think about it. You're going to greet God. You might want to dress yourself up a little bit more regal a little bit more befitting, because you literally feel that you're going to meet Hashem. You're going to meet the Shekhinah. It's called Kabbalah's Panei Shekhinah. The next thing the Rebbe says, be very careful to doing it the right time, which means every community, different customs. Again, as we say, some people wait for 3 days. The Kabbalistic, more the Hasidic way is to wait for 7 days, according to mysticism. So to make sure, the Rebbe points out that if, and we wait, we try to wait till do it on a Saturday night, as we said, but that's in cities and where, especially in the winter, where there's a lot, where there can be a lot of rain, and as a result of that, the clouds block the moon. So you don't want to wait till Saturday night, because if you have a night, sometimes, because it can happen that you have night by night, you can't see the moon. It's covered by clouds. If there's a, it depends on where you live. Los Angeles, where I live, we don't have, it happens very rarely that there's a, that from the 7th to the 15th, you can't find a night that is overcast. It could happen, but it's not as. In New York and other places in Europe, there's a, the clouds, there's a lot more covering. And in the winter months, especially, if you're worried you're not going to be able to see the moon and you finally see it on the 7th day and it's not, or the 8th day, and it's not, and it's not Saturday night, it's a Thursday night, go ahead and do it. Okay, so the Rebbe goes into that, just he says, make sure you get it done, be cautious. And also he says it should be done, and, but here's the most important part, it should be done with, when you're doing it, you should do it with the intention to hasten the coming of Mashiach, and that you're going out to greet the new moon, and by you greeting the new moon, you're activating the Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach, accepting Mashiach Tzidkenu. What does it mean? You're going to see the Shekhinah, and thereby activating the redemption, triggering Mashiach's coming. As we said before, it's dependent on Mashiach. So how do you trigger him? So in our minds, when we're doing Kiddush Levana, we should sing and dance. Oh, by the way, the Rebbe adds, try to get as many people to come. Make a send out. Don't do it just, you know, quietly, a few people. Make a notification to your entire community and say, we're doing it 8 o'clock at night, Shabbos, even though if you don't come to shul, this week is Kiddush Levana. Everybody should come. And get everybody to come. It should be a festive situation, and then extra festivities and dancing. And it should be what everybody should have in mind, that when they're doing it, it is to bring Mashiach. What's the connection with the new moon with bringing Mashiach? So the Rebbe brings as follows. So let's first start from the beginning. He says, number one, this week was Parshas Noach, as mentioned. And in Parshas Noach, it is emphasized very much how the sun and the moon are very much part of the set stability of creation. Because when God made the promise to Noah that he won't destroy the world anymore, he told him that day and night will never cease. And those, the system of day and night will always go. Why did God have to say that to Noah? Because the year that the flood occurred for an entire year. 40 days and 40 nights it rained, but then the waters kept on coming from below for another 150 days. And then till it receded, the flood lasted for an entire year. Now during that year, the sun and the moon, day and night, was not operating. It was just pitch black, and it was a very, very, very scary time. And God stopped the entire orbits. There was some secession after, but then God made a promise to Noah, and he said, from hereby and onward, this will never happen. I'm setting the sun and the moon to continuously, they should never ever take a day off. They should never ever misfire, if you might say. They should always keep their rotation, and this is going to keep time and the world in order. As we discussed earlier in the class, only to Noah did God tighten the screws of creation, tighten the nuts and bolts, and give stability to the world. Now, that stability is very much connected to the orbit of the moon and the orbit of the sun. The orbit of the moon is, it makes its round once every 30 days, to be more exact, 29 days and 12 hours, 793 parts, That's a astronomical calculation of how long it takes the moon to go from point to be reborn again and go from its full cycle. It's not 30 days, it's 29 and half a day with some extras. The sun, its orbit around is a yearly orbit, and that's what creates the four seasons. And that is 365 days and a quarter of a day. And this is set, and therefore the luminaries in the sky is very much set with the stability of the world. Now, in addition to that, is not only the rotation, but also the fact that the moon waxes and wanes. In other words, this is part of the cycle that God created, that the moon is disappears from the sky, and then it comes back again. And for this, this is so important that a special blessing is made when the moon comes back again. Why? What's the reason for that? Why should we make, there's a lot of natural phenomena we don't make blessings on. Why do we make a new blessing when every month when the moon, it seems to be etched in nature, like it's not a big deal. So the Rebbe says, the sages say, this is in Sanhedrin, Tractate Sanhedrin, page 42 on the first side. Whoever blesses the moon in its right time, it's as if they go out and received the divine, the Shekhinah. We go out to greet the Shekhinah. When you're going to make this blessing, you're greeting, you're going to meet the divine presence in the world, the Shekhinah. Like, and we actually say it as part of the Nusach, part of the word, the verbiage that we use when we're saying Kiddush Levana. We say, one of the sages said, if Israel would only have the merit to go out and greet their Father in heaven once a month, that's enough. Once another month, you're going out to say hi to God. Hi to your Father in heaven. And therefore, that the Talmud says, and we say it as part of our liturgy of the blessing, we say, therefore, you should say it standing. Because it's such an important occasion. You're coming to greet God, you stand up. So it's supposed to be, say, you can't sit when you're saying it. It's supposed to be standing and so forth. This is what we say. What's the significance? Why is it that going out to a new moon, a blue moon, what does it have to do with us going to meet God? So the Rebbe continues, and he brings a teaching from the Marsha. Marsha was a great 17th century Talmudic scholar who wrote one of the most profound and thorough commentary on the Midrashic elements of the Talmud. The Talmud is divided between law and many Midrashic parts. The Marsha is the most celebrated commentator on the Midrashic parts of the stories and the Midrashic parts. So obviously this statement of the Talmud is a Midrashic part. It's talking about you going to greet, it's like you're greeting God and so on and so forth. So the Marsha gives an explanation. And he says as follows. These are the words. He says, because the Jewish people during the time of exile have been banished from being close to God. Because to be close to God, you have to be in the temple where God reveals himself. We've been scattered all over the world, and we're not in our father's home. Like the Talmud says elsewhere, the Jewish people are like children that have been banished from their father's table. We've been kicked out of the house, sadly. And therefore, we can't see God, the face of God. Because to see the face of God, when you came to the temple, you saw God. And we're very far from greeting Hashem. We're miles and miles away, living across the world. And even those who live in Israel, there's a mosque over there. And they don't, you know, when Jews go up these days, on the Temple Mount, they don't let the Jewish people even say a prayer. It's crazy. The ridiculous Israeli police go along with whatever they call them, the Jordanian rules. The Jews are not allowed to pray. What kind of business is this? What kind of racist thing is this? The Jews can't pray. Muslims are allowed to pray. Why can't Jews pray there? It's utterly insane. But that's the way it is. So we can't even say, you're allowed to go. They let people, they're not happy about it, but people go up there. I'm not going halachically if one is allowed to go. I'm saying based on Israeli law. People go up, but they're not allowed, if they caught saying a prayer, they get arrested. It's insane. So that means we can't go and greet our Father in heaven. Oh, so therefore, what's the encouragement? And therefore, we feel terrible. But what's the tremendous encouragement? That every month when the new moon comes out, the fact that the moon was renewed and we go out and see a new moon, it's it's a message given to us from God that the moon is representing the Shekhinah, the divine presence. And God says, I am making myself available for you that you can see me again. And you can see me and you can wave to me. And we can see each other, maybe from a distance. But there is a renewal. In other words, this is not going to last forever. The banishment, it seems like it's forever. It's close to 2,000 years. But it's not going to last forever. And Israel is going to regenerate itself. And the Jewish people are going to regenerate itself. God is going to come down to dwell in our holy temple. We're going to have our temple back. And the Davidic kingdom is going to be restored, because the Davidic kingdom is also compared to the moon. And therefore, when we go out and we greet the new moon, it's as if we would be walking to the temple and our temple was restored. And it's telling us, month after month, Jewish people going through the darkest exile. We've gone through what we saw in Israel just recently. And we've gone through a Holocaust. And we've gone through pogroms. And we've gone through an Inquisition. And we've gone through Crusaders. We've gone through the worst of the worst, butchery and suffering and spat on and told that we have no right to exist. And they're still, the anti-Semites are still saying it. In the UN today, they're still saying it. Despicable people, all of them. I don't even know why Israel stays in the UN. I literally don't know. They should tell the UN, go, whatever. I don't want to use language over here. And we have nothing to do with you. What kind of despicable words? The Guterres today, the head of the UN, goes and makes a statement that Israel has a right to defend itself and the atrocities, and I condemn the atrocities, terrible. But let's understand that this didn't happen in a vacuum. In other words, it's Israel's fault because of 55 years of causing problems for the Gazans. The Gazans have been getting billions of dollars. They could have made Gaza the amount of money that was given to Gaza, they could have built it up to be richer and more prominent than the UAE, I forgot the name of the place there. The Arabs have this incredible rich culture. They had so much money, but they're not doing that. All they want all day long is to create missiles and to hurt and to kill and to murder innocents. And this lowlife that he is, this Guterres over there, together with the UN, has the nerve to tell the Jewish people after our babies and were beheaded and families and 120 people were burnt alive by a festival. And this guy has the nerve to tell the Jewish people that we're the ones who are at fault in it. Yeah, because we took our land. And I asked the entire world, I'm sorry I'm getting worked up over here, but I asked the entire world, when we didn't have the land of Israel, and we were scattered, and when we were living in Poland, and we were living in Germany, and we were living in Russia, and were we treated nicer? Or you were burning us then as well? So don't tell me that it has anything to do with us occupying land that's not ours. It's despicable. But now the good news. Sorry for the excitement. Because it's true, the world has to know this. The good news is that once a month, what has held us? The new moon keeps on coming back, keeps on reminding us that Israel, you're still going to experience the kiss of God. You're still going to be brought back. You see the moon, it looked like disappeared in the sky. It looks like it's never coming back again. It's coming back again. Your kingdom is going to be reestablished and the world will go to your light again. And that's the reason why the Rebbe says that during Kiddush Levana, during the sanctification of the moon, we say, one of the verses that we say is we say this verse, David, it's not a verse, it's a statement, it's a Talmudic statement. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, King David, the king of Israel, is alive and well. That means King David never died. I mean, physically, it appeared that he died. He was buried, and there is his, but he's the king of Israel, and his soul will manifest in Mashiach Tzidkenu, and therefore his energy and the king of Israel doesn't die. The Jewish people don't die. The Jewish people are a divine presence in this world, and we never, ever can be extinguished. And let all the anti-Semites go jump in the lake, because we will be here forever and ever, and our leader and our king, who took care of all the enemies of Israel back then is alive and well, and he's here. The reason why we speak about King David being alive and well is because and why do we speak about it by the sanctification of the moon? Because the moon represents the kingdom of David. The moon represents the kingdom of King David. Where do we find it? I'm going to tell you a little story. The Rebbe does not bring it over here, but I'm just going to connect it. One of the great sages of the Mishnah, or the one who actually put together the Mishnah, his name was Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. And on him it was said that if Mashiach was to come in his generation, he would have been the Mashiach. He was a grandson of King David. He was from the Davidic family. And he was the great leader of the Jewish people. And one month, he sent his student to go out and see if there's a new moon. This was not to sanctify the moon. This was in order to establish the calendar. They used to establish the calendar by seeing a new moon. And based on that, they would declare which day of the month is Rosh Chodesh, is the beginning of the new year. So he sent his Reb Chiya to go out and see if he sees a new moon. And he told him, your message, if you see a new moon, please send the messenger quickly to me and with these words. Don't tell me you saw a new moon. Tell me these words. David, the king of Israel, is alive and well. What's the connection? What does that do with David? You know, the answer is, the moon reappearing in the sky says, it looks like King David died. It looks like this empire has long been buried in the ground and heaps of dirt was thrown on top of it. That's not true. That's to our physical dark eyes. We don't see the truth. King David is alive and well. Mashiach is kicking good and strong. Everything in the world is being driven by this messianic power that's in the world. David HaMelech is alive and well. His kingdom is going to be restored very, very soon. That's why when you see the moon, that's the way you should let it. You should relate the message to me. And that's the reason also why. And it's also when the Rebbe brings over here, so there are three things that are compared to the moon. The Shekhinah, the divine presence that's within the world, the feminine side of God is called Shekhinah. She's compared to the moon. God's masculine side is compared to the sun. King David, who is the embodiment of the Shekhinah, the feminine aspect of divinity in this world, him and his dynasty are compared to the moon. And finally, all of Israel are compared to the moon. Now, these three all go together. The moon's return to the sky in a visible manner really means that the sun and the moon have right now connected. Because the sunlight is shining on the moon is reflecting the sunlight, which means that the sun and the moon have coming together, which means it's the reunification of God and Israel. It's the reunification of God and God's blessing, infusing the kingdom, the righteous the Davidic dynasty, that they're infused with godly energy. And it's the unification of the spiritual source of creation with the infinity of God, with the masculine, the ultimate unity of Havaya and Elohim that we spoke earlier. All this is hinted to in the rebirth of the moon. That's why it says, and this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, this is not a Hasidic teaching. This is brought in the code of Jewish law from the Ramah. Ramosha Isserlish is one of the authors of the Shulchan Aruch. He says that the custom during the recitation of this special blessing is that we do dancing like as if it was a wedding. Why? Because it is a wedding. Because it's a rejoining again. It's like a marriage that a husband and wife that have been separated from each other and they're coming together again. And that's why it's like making a wedding all over again. So we treat it like a wedding. This is the powerful, powerful Indian, the idea of the sanctification of the moon. So now we already see why the Rebbe is saying that this work that we're doing that now that we need to activate the coming of Mashiach, that means literally the moon should come out, the spiritual moon, not just the physical moon, but what the moon represents should start shining on the world, the Davidic kingdom should be restored. We understand why this blessing that we go out to greet the moon and call for the moon to reveal itself, so to speak, to encourage it, to stand for it, and say that we are ready to receive it, why this is so pivotal as a service that we do to activate Mashiach's coming, especially when everything was done already. The world is completed. All the good was done already. Now we just need to activate redemption. To put it a little deeper, now we go to chapter 11. We're going to finish this passage today. Let's do it quickly. To put it a little deeper, in the language of Kabbalah and Hasidut, the Rebbe says, till now we spoke in general, now we're speaking more in Kabbalistic terminology. the moon represents the attribute of kingship, which is the least of the divine attributes. And the reason it's compared to the moon, because just like the moon has no light of its own, it's only reflecting the light of the sun, so too the attribute of kingship has nothing of its own. It reflects the higher energies of God, the infinite energies are given to her, and she shines that light down onto the world. I'm not going to go into explaining it right now. And it takes the sunlight and reflects it onto the world. So really, it's the name of Havaya, which is Yudke, which is the sun, compared to the sun, shining on the name of Elohim, which is the godliness of creation. And now we can understand, the Rebbe says, based on that, we can understand the fluctuations of the moon. How much, if the moon is bright or the moon is, the waxing and the waning of the moon is all related to how much is the name of Elohim receiving from the name Havaya. Again, when God creates the world, he separates it, an energy for creation. Question is, how much is it connected to God's very self, to his truer masculine and infinite light? So there is back and forth. Sometimes the creation and the source of creation is closer to the infinite. Sometimes it's further. Exile is a time of distance, not just to us, but the Shekhinah also goes to exile. The name of Elohim is also separate. That's why the name of Elohim is so dark. Nature is so strong. We don't see the miracles. And that's why what is godly and good in this world could be trampled on, could be persecuted. That's because there is a distance between Havaya, which is the range of the realm of the infinite, and the miraculous is not showing itself. But the unification of the two, especially the idea of that when we make the blessing on the new moon, we're celebrating Havaya and Elohim coming together. We're declaring Hashem Hu Elohim, that Hashem is inseparable. Yudke Vavke, the tetragrammaton, is inseparable than the name of Elohim. Miracles and nature are converged as one. The infinite is revealed in the finite, the whole purpose of creation. And therefore, we know in the end of days what's going to happen. There is a verse that says that the moon will be as bright as the sun. Because once the moon gets married to the sun, like a husband and a wife, and she becomes part of his body, so then the moon will forever be attached, and the moon will be as bright, because she will fully absorb all the light of the sun. And Israel will be the bright forever and ever, and our light will shine for all limitless. Yeah. Based on all of this, we can say, the Rebbe adds, that in Kiddush Levana, so what you're getting already over here, Kabbalistically as well, is how the blessing of the moon that we make, this particular event, is so messianic, and is so much to do with the ultimate coming of Mashiach, because this is where it's at. Now, to add even more than that, we can say that the sanctification of the moon, or the blessing of the moon that we make, we only do it after the moon has waned. In other words, you don't make this blessing when it's a new moon. But in order for there to be a new moon, the old moon, it's the same moon, but at least what we call the old moon, the moon from the previous month, has completely disappeared. And then it comes back again. So the coming back of the new moon, the Rebbe says, is the redemption. What's the significance of the waning of the moon? The waning of the moon represents the period of exile. But not just darkness, the period of exile in which God has given each and every one of us the ability to reveal God in a godless existence, in a dark world. That's the whole point of all of our work. God wasn't the one who orchestrated that we should sin. It wasn't that we sinned and God got angry, kicked us out. God brought that we should sin because we needed to have the world plummet into darkness, so that we can reveal and draw godliness even into a dark world, even to a world that doesn't know God, we can bring the light into that dark world. So the 15 days of the moon diminishing itself is reflecting and highlighting. What is it reflecting and highlighting? The 15 days of the moon being diminished is reflecting a world going darker and darker and darker, and the Jewish people in that dark world not giving up, learning Torah, doing mitzvah, doing so much good. And then when we complete it, like the Rebbe says, we completed it already, then comes the new moon. And the new moon is already the redemption. Comes out that in the blessing of the moon, it's not just reflecting the redemption. It's reflecting all our work that we did in order to bring the redemption. The work, and spiritually, what does that mean? That we allow ourselves to separate. God forbid, Elohim gets separate from Havaya. nature gets separated from the transcendental, miraculous energy. And it gets very dark. And that's the whole beauty that we can reveal, even in the darkness, that Havaya is really the truth of Elohim. That even when it's so dark, we can uncover that God's truth is everywhere. So it's really bringing out the strength of Havaya, which would not have been brought out had we always remained in a place of light. And that idea that we bring Havaya to be revealed in Elohim is the concept of making a home for God in the low. We first allow the world to become low, and in that low, we do our work and we reveal God. All the things, when we do our work in the darkness, like we discussed in the beginning of the talk, it brings a deep satisfaction to God, what we call Naicha Derucha. It brings us to Noach, what we discussed earlier, a deep satisfaction and a happiness. And it engages God on a deeper level than he was at the beginning of creation, like we discussed earlier, because God's will to have a home in the lower world was actualized and fulfilled. Okay. So based on all of this, let's do quickly chapter number 12. Based on all of this, when comes out like this, that when we make a calculation at the end of the first week of the month of the year 5752, which is the year of miracles, the miracles will be in it, and we come to the conclusion, the Rebbe's conclusion, that it that everything is done already. The accounting is all saying that the final thing is that right now Mashiach has to come, and it's only dependent on Mashiach. So what should we do about it? We need to do more work in Kiddush Levana, and which is what? Which represents the idea that the kingdom of David is restored. Mashiach is energized to reveal himself. So there are some people who learn, and I'm leaning very much to that, that what the Rebbe is really revealing over here is a deep secret. He's not just saying, go do Kiddush Levana. It's the only thing we have to do is Kiddush Levana. He's saying that, but he's hinting to the innermost of Kiddush Levana. And what is the inside of Kiddush Levana? He mentions that verse. During Kiddush Levana, we say the Jewish people will seek out King David. When we go greet the moon, it's as if we're seeking out King David. That means we're looking for Mashiach. It's not like we're sitting back there and say, whenever Mashiach will come, let him come. We are greeting Mashiach. That means if we know there is someone who is Mashiach, it's our job to go out and greet this Mashiach and tell him we're your people. That's the point over here. There's a verse that says that in the end of days, Uvikshuas Elokeim, the Jewish people will seek out their God, Ves David Malcolm and King David. They will search and they will look. And as one of the commentators say, the Metzuda is, that they will come to Mashiach himself and beg him to be their king. So the Rebbe is alluding over here. We've done already everything. Now it's time that you turn to Mashiach and tell him, be our king. He's giving us a green light to do that. If anybody knows what was going on in Lubavitch during those times, the women were beginning, primarily the women, a campaign in which thousands of women were signing a petition saying to the Rebbe that we know that you are Mashiach, please, based on everything you said to us, therefore, please, the time has come for you to reveal yourself. So in conjunction to that, the Rebbe gave this talk, because a lot of people were uncomfortable with that, because they were thinking, this is getting too messianic, this might be whatever. So the Rebbe is basically opening up the door for it. He's saying, listen, this is what I'm telling you. The work that needs to be done right now is the Kiddush Levana, but Kiddush Levana meaning the sanctification of the moon, the broader sense of Kiddush Levana. Now, I can't say it says it explicitly in the talk. It's a derivative from what the Rebbe is saying, but it's very likely that this is, especially if you know what happened in the weeks after this, how much the Rebbe was thanking when they were bringing him and saying thank you and to Aschein for those people that were bringing these signatures, and it said it should be done more and more and more. You can see that the Rebbe was hinting to and encouraging this. He couldn't say it explicitly. Why can't he say it explicitly? Because a king cannot ask to be coronated by his people. The people need to coronate the king out of their own volition. A king needs to become from the people. It can't be coming from the king. If the king establishes his monarchy over the people, then it's not a kingship. Then it's a dictatorship. So it has to come from the volition of the people. So the Rebbe at this point is kind of saying, listen, all the work is done. You just got to do your Kiddush Levana. And with it, hinting to this higher service. So and more specifically, the Rebbe says, in I'm going back into what he says, we should be very careful to do Kiddush Levana in with dressed in the right way, like we discussed earlier, to do it in the street and to do it with a lot of people and in places where people did till now didn't want to do it because they're living amongst Gentiles and they were afraid that the Gentiles, you know, see Jews celebrating in the street, they might throw eggs at them, like people used to do in New York during Halloween. They used to throw eggs. But you now don't be afraid. Go out there, make a celebration. And also regarding the time, to make sure that we do it at the right time, after 3 days or after 7 days, and on Matzah Shabbos, if you can do it on Matzah Shabbos, if Matzah Shabbos comes out before the 10th day of the month, if it's afterwards, he brings the halacha, the Rebbe says, you shouldn't wait till Saturday night because maybe you'll have two or three overcast days and then it will be too late, you won't be able to do anymore. The because you can only do this blessing until the 14th or the 15th day of the month. And particularly in countries that where usually could be overcast during the winter. And the Rebbe says, but you know, everybody should follow their custom. But the main thing is there should be an added involvement. But mostly he says that Kiddush Levana should be with the special intention to encourage and to increase and to cause the coming of David Malka Mashiach should happen right now. Through this, that we should demand and begging Mashiach to come at Kiddush Levana. In other words, we should really mean it from the depth of our heart. And he brings that verse that we said earlier, Evikshu as Hashem Elokeichem, that the Jewish people should cry out for God and for the revelation of David, their king. That's the work. And now he says in chapter 13, he just gives a big blessing to conclude this all. He said, let it be the will that even before we do Kiddush Levana tonight, that night, when the Rebbe gave this talk, that night was going to be the blessing of the moon that year, the month of Cheshvan. So let it be even before we get to that, particularly this year, that since Cheshvan and Kislev, meaning the year 1992, Cheshvan and Kislev were complete months, so which I'm not going to get into right now. So there's 3 months that are complete, which means full 30-day months. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, which is very rare in the Jewish calendars. Sometimes there's months that are only 29 days, but here there were 3 months in which each month was 30 days. So that creates a strength that there should be complete months. And since the Jewish people are complete compared to the moon, it means a perfection in the Jewish people. And let it be fulfilled in us, this that it says, that they should seek out their God and David their king. Amen. And what does that mean? That Mashiach should literally come right now. And simply, immediately, we should fulfill what we're going to read in Mincha, where it says, go to your land that I will show you, to our holy land, since God has given us already this land, from the river of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, and also the three extra lands, which were not part of Israel in the past, but they will be part of Israel in the future, the land of the 10 nations, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni, these are three extra nations, the land of the 10 nations, and we should come to the land of Israel, but not just into the land of Israel, we should continue going to the south, which is to Jerusalem, following Abraham. Abraham came in from the north. He was continuing to go to the south, going to Jerusalem, and then going up to the Temple Mount and further up to the place of the altar itself, and which is very accurate, that space. And over there, we should be able to fulfill our obligation and bring all of our sacrifices the way God wants us to do it. And also, we should be able to fulfill the Kiddush Levana, that we come and we greet the Shekhinah in its fullest, not like just outside in our streets, but to really do it in God's palace. We should see Elohim in Zion. And even more than that, we shouldn't just see Elohim, we should see Havaya. Because as we said earlier, Havaya is higher than Elohim. And he should be revealed in Elohim, should be Havaya. Like it says, Yedol Pnei Adon Hashem. And it talks about the three pilgrimage holidays. It says that we should be seeing the face of the Master, Yudke Vavke. And including also the unification of Havaya and Elohim. That is emphasized by the Kiddush Levana. Havaya hu Elohim. And not only that, Havayah and Elohim, as we discussed in the beginning of the first class, seven times higher and higher and higher, like it said in the Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur. At the end of Yom Kippur, we say seven times Havayah is Elohim. After we say Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, one time, three times we say Blessed is His name. At the end of Yom Kippur, there is the most powerful climax of the entire high holidays, is all the Jewish people together in all congregations declare God is one, Hear, O Israel, God is one. Then we say three times, blessed is his glorious kingdom forever and ever. And then with all the might and all of our heart and soul, we all cry out seven times, Hashem, which is the tetragrammaton, he is Elohim. and seven times. And with that, then we say Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim next year in Jerusalem, and that's the conclusion of the prayer. The Rebbe said that we should, that Kiddush Levana represents this fusion of Avayin Elokim, and amazing. The Rebbe stood up. Sorry, didn't stand up. The Rebbe announced by the Fabrengen. He concluded the Fabrengen, this talk, his sitting with his Hasidim, with saying Havaya Hu Elokim seven times. Like, mind-blowing that the Rebbe should do this. Anybody knows? Seven times, Havaya Elokim, Hashem Elokim. And I don't know if he said it with Hashem's name, or he said Havaya Elokim, I'm not sure. And then he concluded the last words, Lashon HaBa Yerushalayim. Wow, what an incredible talk. This concludes the three lessons of episode 28, Parshas Noach, A Higher Accounting.